Bhagavatam is auspicious even for the non-devotees. You just think in the pages of Bhagavatam, Gajendra was an elephant. Though he was Indrajumna Maharaj in his previous life, in this life he just became an elephant. But because he did some form of devotion service, Krishna allowed him to remember him at the point when it mattered most. Did Krishna see that he was an elephant, therefore let me give him a human life and then he can attain perfection of devotional service? No. For Krishna, it doesn't matter what your qualification or what your body is. It doesn't matter. As long as one is truly serving Krishna, or Lord Ram, as in the case of Hanumanji, that is enough. What is that nice verse? Hanumanji sings, you know, in 5th canto, Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam na vaam na buddhi na krite stesha heto dhairyad vrishishta na pino vanau kasha chakara sakye bhat lakshmana agrachaha. Hanumanji sings this to Ramchandra, and he shows us the mercy of the Lord, the auspiciousness of Bhagavatam, even to a person who is in animal form. He says that, Lord Ram, you are so kind. I am just a monkey. I don't have high birth. I am not Brahmana, I am not Vaishya, I am not even Shudra, I am just monkey. I don't have good language. I can't speak Hindi, I don't know Sanskrit, I don't know English, I just speak gibberish. I don't have much intellect. I am not going to schools, I am not studying, no degree, nothing. I cannot offer you a nice villa for you to come back. I can't offer you a nice house for you to stay. My house is tree to tree every night. That's all I have. Frankly speaking, I have no qualifications. And even in the looks department, I'm hardly, you know, good looking. I'm just a monkey. Nothing to look at also. No high parentage, no wealth, definitely. I don't have bank savings, I don't have bank balance, nothing. But despite all my disqualifications, O Lord, you have accepted me in your heart as your friend. How much more merciful can you be? Such a beautiful prayer. But it's a very important prayer for us, because it shows us that Krishna, for bhakti, he has no qualifications. The only qualification that's needed is, are we going to follow the mood of Shukadev Goswami in studying Bhagavatam? If we really have the mood to come for the program to glorify Krishna, then that will make us peaceful. The only reason we are coming together, the only purpose of devotional service Krishna gives us, is actually to glorify Krishna. We are not in the habit of coming and doing the numbers game. Sometimes we get into that habit, oh, today only 20 people came, that means program is not good. Or as speakers also, we should not think, 100 people are here, I am very fired up. But if 2 people are here, I will not speak. We are missing the point. You know, I was just discussing this morning, in Coventry, Prabhupada went for a program, and after the program he was asked by the organizers, the devotees, Prabhupada, we are very sorry, we organized nice program, and hardly anyone turned up. And Prabhupada said, nothing. It doesn't matter whether anyone comes or doesn't come. The point is, few sincere living entities are all that is needed. And anyway, Prabhupada said, didn't you see, or you could not see, that all the seats were filled up by the demigods? Narada Muni, Brahmaji, they were all there. They are present when Bhagavatam is being spoken. So why we don't accept that is because of the lack of our own faith. So we should not command an audience when speaking about Bhagavatam. The whole point is, in our mood now, as we sit now, are we trying to glorify their lordships? Are we trying to glorify Guru Maharaj? If we are glorifying their glories, that is the perfection of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam becomes auspicious in our life, and therefore Bhagavatam will touch our lives and it will change our character. It will make us peaceful. It will make us happy in our devotional service. Otherwise, 20 years we may be in devotional service, and sometimes you chant, no taste. Sometimes you think, why so many years, nothing is happening. This is the reason. That's why in 10.1.4 Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says very nicely, Nivritta Tarshe Upagiya Maya Bhava Shodha Chotramano Virama Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanumada Puman Virajeta Vinapasukna. This is a verse we should always remember as devotees when we want to ask ourselves why we are coming for a Friday afternoon program.
or a Sunday morning or a Friday evening. The reason is because of 10:14. Because here Shukadeva Goswami says that glorification of the Lord is performed in parampara. What are we doing now? We are speaking and repeating what Prabhupada has spoken, what our spiritual masters have spoken. We don't want to concoct. What is coming from Bhagavatam, we must speak. This glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be done, Shukadeva Goswami says. And it must be done in parampara with the blessings of Vaishnavas. And once it is done in parampara, it must be conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. That will ensure that we don't become puffed up in the head. I am speaking. It is not that we are speaking. It is not that we are hearing. But we are just instruments to glorify Krishna. This is what Krishna wanted. And when we do this, then the result of that is bhava, aushadha. Aushadha means medicine. It is the only medicine, this glorification of Krishna, this auspiciousness of hearing Krishna, this sumangalaha, right, of katha, is so auspicious that it is the one that becomes the best medicine to stop all miseries in our heart. All miseries in our heart. Only when that happens, we are really safe and peaceful. Let me try an experiment with all of you. In the 4th canto, I think 30th chapter, the Prachetas sing this verse. Yatra idyante kathamristas Krishna prasammo yataha nirvaira sarvabhuteshu nirvega yatra kaschana. In this verse, the Prachetas tell us something very interesting. You see whether it's working for you now. They say that wherever and whenever the topics of Krishna are being discussed, three things will happen to the audience. Now you ask yourself. The first is Trishnayaha Prasammo Yataha. Any material hankerings that you have in your heart, which are full of anxiety, they are completely satisfied when Bhagavatam is being spoken. Nobody in this congregation is feeling too much anxiety. Maybe the only anxiety is when is he going to stop or when we are going to have prasadam. That is alright. Having prasadam is good anxiety, nothing wrong with that. But nobody is now thinking of a problem so much that they are not peaceful. So this is correct when we hear Bhagavatam. Then nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. Whatever envy we have in our hearts, it is left outside the door with our slippers. It doesn't come inside. Otherwise, what happens very often is that when we go for any social function where there are 100 people, the chances are we are always looking at each other to compare. If we are going for a wedding, for example, we'll all look at each other, oh, he's wearing nice dhoti, my dhoti is not so nice. Or Mataji's may say, that sari is excellent, new design, but I don't have it. Or someone is wearing something very opulent. We start judging each other, we start looking at each other, and we all forget everything except our egos. But in the congregation where Bhagavatam is being spoken, nobody is looking at each other to see, eh, he looks more handsome than I am, he looks better than I am, she looks better than I am. Nobody first has the time. Of course, even if you want to, now you can't look. Because we have spoken the verse. Right? Now you can't, you know, you're caught already. And even if you do, you feel it's not proper. So what happens? We have to concentrate on Krishna only. There's nothing, no feeling of enviousness, no feeling of envy. We don't feel that way at all. We need it all outside. And the last but very important point Bhagavatam says, Nodvega. Nodvega means, Vega means fear. Nodvega means no fear. Nodvega yatra kaschana. They say that whatever fear you have in this life, because our life is full of fear and anxiety, that fear also is completely vanquished when we are hearing Bhagavatam. And it is true. Anybody feeling particularly fearful at this moment? Nothing. Everything is peaceful. Doesn't this show us that Bhagavatam is Amala Puran? It is the most purest of the pure. That is why Prabhupada invested all his life in translating Bhagavatam. And now we have to, as a measure of our love and reciprocation to Prabhupada, it is time for us to become very serious about studying this wonderful literature. Hanumanji had no qualification, but he acted on principles of Bhagavatam. Gajendra had no qualification, he acted on the principles of Bhagavatam. Non-devotees, like who is that person? There was this Dundukari, you know, Bhagavata Mahatmyam. Dundukari and Gokarna. Gokarna was very pious, but Dundukari was rascal number one. He did everything that we are not supposed to do. Yamaraj was just waiting for him. And finally he was murdered by the own people that he was supporting. And he became a ghost. He was boot. And he was just traveling around, wandering around, hovering around. Until one day when he was in the tree, Gokarna, who was passing by and remembering his brother, despite the fact that he was very cruel, he started reading Bhagavatam and chanting Bhagavatam. And it just happened to be by Krishna's mercy that Dundukari was up in the tree. And just by hearing Bhagavatam, Dundukari's sins were completely vanquished and he was allowed to assume, right, a heavenly body, and from then on he changed the purity of his existence. This proves to us that non-devotees and devotees, we all benefit just by hearing Bhagavatam. The point is, after hearing Bhagavatam, are we going to act on Bhagavatam? That is the key. Are we going to be focused on Bhagavatam, avyabhicharena, or are we going to lose the focus? You know, one time Pandavas and the Kauravas, when they were young, after they had the examinations, Dronacharya put them through one more test. That test was the archery test, to see who would shoot the target perfectly. So he had this branch of tree, and there he put the eye of a bird. He put a bird. You know, it was a bluff one, not real one. And he told all of them, now the person who can shoot the arrow straight at the eye, he'll win the contest. Of course, the first person to come, as usual, was Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana's nature was always envious. He wanted to show he was the best. So Duryodhana, who was ready to shoot, and just before he shot, Dronacharya said, wait, Duryodhana, let me ask you a question. He said, yes, what is it, Gurudev? He said, now, tell me, you are aiming now at the target. Yes, I see the eye. What else do you see? He said, ah, I see the fish or the bird. Ah, very good. What else do you see? I see the branch. That is very good. What else do you see? He said, I see the sky. He said, that's very good. Okay, what else do you see? I see the forest around me. Very good. Now, you please put down your arrow because you have failed the test. Duryodhana was very angry. He thought, what happened? I just said everything that Gurudev told me to see, and I saw everything very nice. So what is wrong? Then next, Dushasana, his brother, came. So Dushasana thought, Duryodhana's mistake was he did not describe enough. So now I'm going to give him a full panoramic view, you know, of the whole world. I see the universe, I see everybody, I see the demigods, everything. And Dronacharya said, you definitely have failed. You please walk away. Like that, all the Kauravas and even the Pandavas went through it until Arjuna's turn came. The Mahabharata tells us Arjuna took up the bow and arrow and he pointed at the target. When he pointed at the target, what happened immediately was Dronacharya asked him, what do you see, Arjuna? He said, Gurudev, I see the eye. What else do you see, son? Gurudev, I only see the eye. He said, don't you see the trees? Gurudev, I can only see the eye. Don't you see anything else? No, Gurudev, because I have only eyes to see the eye. And Dronacharya said, now you please shoot. And when he shot, he found the target. Mahabharata uses this story to teach us one point. The point that if you really want to make Bhagavatam all in all, please don't be distracted by what appears to be spiritual life, but is actually just a chase. Just like we want to read the Gita, but we want to, in the name of reading the Gita, we are building up our whole paraphernalia. But the main point of reading Bhagavatam, chanting seriously, performing nice devotional service, that is put a second. And everything else becomes first. This is the point, as devotees, we must never forget. If we miss this point, then it becomes extremely difficult to accept this auspiciousness in our hearts. The magic formula is given by Prabhupada at the end. He says here that if they hear the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion and attention. This is the key, Prabhu said, Mataji. You can remember as DA. Devotion, attention. Very easy. You know, devotion, attention. Guru Maharaj said, if you don't have devotion and attention, then you become DOA. Dead on arrival. This is what he said. If you don't have devotion and attention, then you are dead on arrival. Meaning, there is no devotional service because your attention is everywhere else except with Krishna. That's why Kunti Mata prays in a prayer. What is that nice verse? Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhu pate asaprit ratihi udvahata adhaha gamde vavam kudanvati. In 1842 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Mata's prayer is the prayer we should have in our heart. Because she says so nicely, O Lord, let my attention be fixed at your lotus feet. And the interesting thing is the two words of matihi and then ratihi. In order to become attracted to Krishna, we all want to be attracted to Krishna. But always we say, why I'm chanting, there is no attraction. Bhagavatam Kunti Mata gives us the way. She says that Let me become attentive to you, O Lord. Then I may have some attraction for you. There are two A's, but one comes after the other. Only when you are attentive to something can you become attracted to it. You think about it, it's psychology. If someone doesn't like a particular subject in school, you are not attentive in class. When you are not attentive in class, you will never be attracted to that subject. You say, no, I don't like that subject. The reason is because you never gave it a chance. You were never attentive to it. This is very important. So attention is first, and then attraction. If we want to really come to the pages of Bhagavatam and really become serious devotees, first thing we must do is become attentive, not to ourselves. We are very, very good in being attentive to ourselves. We know all our needs. We know what are the barriers. We know what we need. We know exactly what we want. But it's time now to have a paradigm shift, as they say. It is time now for us to think, what Krishna wants? What is it the devotees want? That shift in mentality will make us glorify Bhagavatam without even extraneously doing something. Just we should try that. That is the real meaning of service. Otherwise, devotion becomes devotion to ourselves. I come for the program because I want to feel good. But if you come for the program because you want Krishna to be happy, because you are glorifying Him, you will become automatically peaceful. Automatically peaceful. It is natural. It will happen naturally. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, do you remember the great devotee and associate of Mahaprabhu known as Govinda? Govinda was always the servant who would massage Mahaprabhu's feet. One day after Mahaprabhu had great kirtan with Srivas Thakur and they had very ecstatic kirtan, Mahaprabhu became very tired. And he lay down at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. He had a good prasadam and he went to lie down. He lay down at the doorstep. And then Govinda was supposed to massage his feet. So he had to come this side. And we all know it is not etiquette for us to cross over someone, because the body is temple of God and the soul is in there. And so is the super soul. So then Govinda said, Lord, please move your legs so that I can cross over and I can serve you. And Lord said, you do whatever you want as you please. I am tired, Govinda. I am going to take rest. So Govinda in his heart, he knew now that he had to do service for Krishna. So what did he do? He crossed over Mahaprabhu. And he sat on this side and he started massaging Mahaprabhu's feet. At the end of it, Mahaprabhu said, enough. Now I am going to take rest. Now you please cross over and have prasadam. And Govinda said, all right. 45 minutes later, Mahaprabhu wakes up. And when he wakes up, he looks down and he says, hey, Govinda, you're still sitting here, you're not moving. And Chaitanya Charitamrita writes it very nicely that Govinda did not bother to reply. He became very silent and in his heart, you know, he spoke to the Lord. Mahaprabhu could understand his mood and Mahaprabhu became very, very pleased with him. Prabhupada writes in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that Govinda embodied to us what service is supposed to be, genuine service. When he crossed over to serve Mahaprabhu, he knew that by crossing over, he was ready, he incurred the possibility of going to hell. But he told himself in his heart that if I have to go to hell on account of my service not being interrupted for the Lord, then I rather go to hell, but not interrupt my seva to Krishna. That's all right. But after that, when he was told to cross over, he did not cross over. Because at that point, the only reason for him crossing over would be to satisfy his stomach for prasadam. And at that point, he said, there was no service for Krishna. There would be only service to my tongue. So at that point of time, I should not cross over the Lord. This is devotional service. This is the essence of Bhagavatam. That if you want to glorify Krishna, you serve him in such a way that you be prepared to hell, to go to hell if necessary. Prepare to suffer and prepare to renounce and prepare to bear all manners of austerity. But on account of yourself, we must, as Maharaj always told us, be very merciless to yourself, but be very merciful to others. If you tell yourself in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, Mangalati, oh, I must take care of my body. I'm too tired. Last night we had long program, I can't wake up. Then it is service to yourself. But if you remember the fact that their lordships are there and it's your duty to glorify them, then no matter how difficult your body may feel, you will wake up, you will push yourself. And in that pushing, your health is not going to go. Your health will be alright. Nothing happens to us actually when we perform great service for Krishna. My Guru Maharaj used to say, what's the worst Devaki that will happen to you? You die. That's the worst. Anyway, you're going to die, right? So you might as well die for Krishna. Nothing wrong. One godbrother of ours, you know, he got into some trouble on a technical detail in Singapore, ended up going to jail for 1 month. Just before going to jail, he came to Maharaj and said, Maharaj, great calamity has befallen me. Maharaj said, what happened? And he said, I'm going to jail. Maharaj said, that's all right. Our parampara is starting from jail. Krishna was born in jail. That's okay. What's the worst? You go to jail, you come out. Trouble continues. Trouble continues. What does it matter? And he left scratching his head. Completely bewildered. I never knew this. So devotees become fearless in these situations. We don't mind. If there's austerity, there is going to be austerity. If we don't do it for Krishna, Krishna will make us do it for our family, for ourselves, and the extensions of our ego. So better to do it for Krishna. Otherwise, we are going to do it for mind. So the conclusion to this verse is very nice. We should follow in the footsteps of these great Mahajans, who taught us that no matter how much difficulties they were in, they never stopped hearing the narrations of the Lord. They never stopped being always engaged with devotion and attention at the lotus feet of the Lord, despite reversals in their lives. One good example I can think of is Vritasur. Vritasur was demon, supposedly demon number one. He was coming to vanquish Indra. Indra prayed very hard to Krishna, please Krishna. You know how difficult it is to just call out for Krishna and get a boon from him. Can you imagine? And here, Indra was ready to hear Krishna and hear his wonderful potencies through Brahmaji, but all he wanted was Swargaloka. He just wanted to get back Swargaloka. So he wanted to battle this Vritasur and the rest of the demons. And Krishna was very kind. Whatever you want, Krishna gives. You know as much as I do that whatever you have wanted in your life, Krishna has given. Sometimes it may not be good for you, but what to do, you know? When children ask for ice cream, father tells you 100 times, don't take. They will roll on the floor. They'll say, you are a bad father. I don't like you, everything. Sometimes father has to say, all right, we have to learn. You learn. Take ice cream 10 times. Go back to doctor on the 11th time. So like that, we have to learn. Indra wanted Swargaloka. He thought he would be free and happy. Vritasur came into the picture and he prayed very hard. Please give me a powerful weapon. And Brahmaji was told by Krishna, you go and get this weapon from the bones of the sage Dadichi. Make it into a strong, powerful weapon, and on that strength you will defeat Vritasur. So the battle began. And in the battle, the demigods were fighting like anything against the demons, and they were winning until Vritasur entered the battle. Bhagavatam describes that his head was so high that it pierced the clouds. His eyes were like copper and the size of mountains. Can you imagine his size? And when he came, the demigods were completely scattered. And they could not do anything, could not go anywhere. So Indra came. Indra already had his Shakti weapon. And now he had this Vajra weapon, Thunderbolt. With both he came on Airavata and he was ready to fight. So he threw his Shakti weapon first at Vritasur. But Bhagavatam tells us, Vritasur caught the Shakti weapon as if you would catch a garland. Just like that, you know. And when he threw back the Shakti weapon, the force was so powerful, Bhagavatam tells us, that Airavata, the elephant, moved back 14 yards. 14 yards for a big elephant like Airavata. Airavata is not size of our Asian elephants and African elephants. Huh? They would have been 3-4 times the size of that. And he fell back. And when he fell back, Indra fell. And when he fell, the weapon that he was holding, that he thought would be the key to defeating Vritasur, it also fell. Imagine, this is like a scene in a movie. The hero has the weapon. Now the weapon is beyond his reach. Can't get it. Crook is over there. Villain is coming down. It is a perfect scene, right, for a movie. Suspense is all there. And at that point of time, what does the hero normally be able to get up and get it? But this hero was down. He could not do anything. And who becomes the hero in this case? Vritasur becomes the hero. He stops the fight. And he says, Indra, why are you such a coward? Why are you so morose? Why do you feel you have lost? You haven't lost anything. And then he says, 6.11.20 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please remember this. It will give us hope in our difficult times in devotional service. He says, Nanvesha Vrajya Tavasa Kratejasa Hare Dadichi Tapasa Chatejitaha Tenaiva Shatrun Jahi Vishnu Yantrito Yato Hari Vijaya Shri Gunastataha. He says, He says to Indra, Indra, you have already been guaranteed victory over me. Don't you realize that? I'm the villain here. And I know myself that I'm going to fight very hard. But despite my fight, I know I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose. Why? Because you have been given the blessings of the Lord to kill me. Vishnu Yantrito. And you have also been given the weapon that is made from the pure devotee Dadishi. With the devotee on your side and the Lord on your side, how can you lose? How can you lose? Wherever they are, Vijaya, Shri, Gunas, Tataha. Wherever they are, all good qualities are there, all victory is there, and all opulence is there. And Vritasu said, pick up the weapon and kill me now. But don't think I will just go down like that. I will fight because it's my duty to fight. And after fighting, let me be vanquished by the Lord because that is the perfection of my existence. And at the end, when Vritasur fell, it took Indra 1 year, 365 days to use that weapon to sever his head. 365 days. And after severing his head, Vritasur remembered Krishna. And obeying Krishna's orders, he went back to Krishna. And Indra, because he wanted everything else except Krishna, he got the sin of killing the Brahmana because Vritasur was coming from Tvashta. And because of that killing, he had to live in the lotus stem in the lake. Manasa Sarovar. And there he was living for 1,000 of demigod years. Oh, and Agni had to come every day to give him his oblations. And while doing that, his wife was unnecessarily harassed by King Nahusha. So what does this show us finally? That victory or defeat in material terms is not important to study Bhagavatam. The only thing that's necessary in Bhagavatam is that we concentrate to glorify Krishna. Once we have done that, everything is sumangalaha. Then it doesn't matter whether we live or we die. All that matters is, are we happy in Krishna consciousness because we are glorifying Krishna? Vritasu left this world very happy. Indra won the battle, but I think he lost the war. So this is the point we must understand as devotees. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your tolerance. And we hope to see you again sometime, Krishna willing. I thank you so much for giving us the chance to speak something on Bhagavatam. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Shri Gurudev ki.
Jai.